been some original reason why these people were left out and only enlisted people, the personnel getting the per diem. Previously enlisted people that said they were getting the benefits, except the per diem down here, so that however an enlisted person shall receive paid allowances of less than $6 a day. And at no time has officers been mentioned. But now all of a sudden we have officers and commission, you know, commission and warrant officers.
That's correct.
Why?
Well, I don't know why. I don't have the answer tonight. This thing carries no fiscal note. It has fiscal note, no amount on it. What they've done, they've gone back to all of the disasters when they were called in by the governor, and they've told us what the cost is, or what the cost would have been had this bill been in effect. And they've also taken a section out of the federal law where on the death of a member on active duty, they receive six times their monthly salary immediately. And that is in addition to any benefits that would be paid under the Alaska Workers' Compensation Act. And I asked them what the reason for that was, and they said, well, they just took it out of the federal act. However, it would seem to me that the limitations on the guard when we're on active duty are rather stringent as far as remuneration is concerned now. I don't think they're certain of being overpaid. The per diem that they're allowed is certainly not very much.
Neither are those regular members of the armed forces.
No, that is correct. It's in line with that. That's what I get.
Chairman, don't we have National Guard functions at Fort Richardson and Kalmanzorf camps?
Yes.
And the people come in from all over the state and they're there for a week or 2 weeks or a month or something like that?
That's federal.
Pardon?
That's federal. That is paid by the federal government.
I see.
It's only on active duty when they're called out by the governor that they come over to the state responsibility.
Right.
In other words, John, over a period of time going back, they were called out like the Gold Rush Hotel fire. They were called out there. The Kodiak Estate felon, the Alaska Airlines crash, Bethel flood, Dome flood, Cooper Bay flood, Kuskokwim flood, Kobuk flood.
Let me ask you this.
Fairbanks flood.
When they call out guardsmen like that, doesn't the state now pick up, provide quarters for them to live in?
Right.
Oh, sure.
Yes. In other words, they're going to get $48 a day, $50-some a day if they went to Anchor or Fairbanks, they get $50-some a day.
Even though the state may be providing the living quarters for them?
They call them out of Nome or Golovin and brought them down to Fairbanks and they're paying $50-some a day. Sleep them and eat them in the Army and still getting $50 a day extra, besides regular pay?
Well,
I'm
not arguing with the bill. I'm just telling you what
right.
The bill does.
Right.
Actually, the governor's letter.
Did you have something to say for
the governor's letter sets it out pretty well. I only had a couple of questions that I had to ask him. I wondered, they say the Alaska National Guard Naval Militia. Well, I said, how about the Air National Guard? Well, they're part of the National Guard.
The only thing that I would question is that the rate of per diem, you're talking about a state employee leaving Juneau and going to Anchorage, is paid at the rate of, $48 per diem. And he stays at a hotel and eats three meals or drinks three meals or whatever he does. But a National Guard is brought in to a National Guard armory or to a place of a general meeting and located and situated there. And they set up, as they did in the Alaska Airlines disaster, they set up a camp right over at the base. you're getting $48 a day for moving from Juneau over here 8 miles to a camp?
What the governor says in his letter is that federal active duty salaries are based on a number of incentives which are not available to guardsmen, such as commissary, PX, bachelor living quarters, laundry, and other special services.
Well, the National Guard that are here, they have an armory, and they are all take advantage of the Coast Guard stores. In fact, they bring in hundreds and thousands of cases of beer annually, and through there, not only to themselves but to their friends, and they mess on this quiet old neighborhood. So, is there a recommendation, Mr. Bill? Senate Bill 496 be brought out with individual recommendations. All those in favor, hold up your right hand. Failed. Now, according to Ken, I think there's a rule meeting. If I'm not correct, do we have a rule meeting this morning, Senator?
Yeah.
Okay, if there's nothing forward, then I want to remind all the members that we do have a 2 o'clock meeting this afternoon, which time we will be discussing the vagaries of the state ferry system.
I think they're making a big ripoff.
I had 491.
What's that?
It's an education.
That's the same bill we consider.
Our tax bill. You better watch it.
You have a motion.
I'd like to move that we move the Senate Bill 491 out of the individual recommendation.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor, hold up your right hand.
There is the pop. Super. See how that changed, how fast that changed,
sure.
Huh?
See what how much better mood he's in.
Isn't that funny how that does it?
Everybody says, well, it's just the heat of your body. Yeah, that's what it's for. It's emotions. That's what you're running on, isn't it? What do you want to do on the how many do pass? How many no wreck? How many do not pass? You got a mixed bag. The majority report would be no recommendation, right?
Am I correct in assuming that you have to have one due pass in order for it to go everywhere else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you have to? I thought there was.
You have to have one due pass before it gets on the calendar. Rules are going to put it
in. No, in order to get it to rules, too.
No.
No, it can go to rules.
We brought one out last year with
no due pass.
With no due pass.
But there has to be at least one due pass before it gets on to the calendar.
Yeah.
We got one new pass already.
Right.
You.
Mm-hmm.
I guess were you at the meeting yesterday at all? Yeah, you came in.
Yeah.
Frank, you didn't come to the meeting at all.
I was there for all the time.
I came in for a little bit.
John, you didn't come to the project.
No, I didn't. I had to get some stuff out for, and I was.
Well, they admitted that they had. I hate to use the word misuse the money. I mean, it would give some kind of inference. Perhaps I don't want to give. They did give the indication that they had used the money other than programs other than what it that was appropriated for. I guess that's a fair way to say it. There was a feeling, at least of my feeling, and apparently from the majority of the people there, is that we wanted them to know that we did not want them to play around with the Columbia. We did not want that converted. We wanted just the Malaspina, because there was no way we could stop that. But until such time as we gave them a direct appropriation to continue to put on this fast food conversion, we didn't want anything more of that to happen. Is that the general idea? Senator Chance, did you get about that same feeling?
I was getting ready to move that we appropriate money for fast food conversion to Columbia. But I'll not make the motion. Yes, sir, that was the general.
Well, I remember when Stramberg. Remember when Stramberg, John, sold us the deal on those car decks, and that was the only thing that was going to save everything they had put on the overhead car decks? And they appropriated all that money, and they put them in the narrow work. And they put them on every one of the ships that are just trying to one. See if it was going to work.
Overhead car decks.
So they could run them up.
I'll make several stacks of them on the car deck.
Never worked.
Mr. Chairman, someone asked me yesterday what the big objection was of changing the southern terminal from Seattle to Bellingham.
The biggest objection is that somebody's, the Seattle merchants, figure that, or the Bellingham people have said that there was annually around $9 million spent by the ferry system in Seattle or in Bellingham or wherever the southern terminus would be at this particular time. They give the figures of something like $9 million. And Putnam County, which is a supposedly a poverty county as compared to Seattle, King County, they want to get a hold of that. They say that they'll give them a bigger staging area, they'll provide more services for them, the whole thing. And they say that they'll do all these great things for them, but they'll
just Jim?
I understand that.
Huh?
I understand that part. I don't know the objection to moving it.
Our objection?
Yeah.
There is none that I know of.
No decision's been made yet. Just didn't want to make that move without our being part of it.
My objection? You mean,
yeah.
You want my objection?
Yeah.
I do. I have an objection right now. Yes, I do. My objection is that they have a guy, the chief steward for the ferries by the name of Kleinenberg, and he apparently is running around and making all kinds of promises. Last year, he came up and had a wonderful deal, all fixed up about fresh milk or frozen milk on the ferries, and they had it out put it out on a bid form. And at that time, Smith Dairies here locally had the bid, so the bid was up, and they wrote the specs for a new type of milk, which is a composite of some. That only one person could bid on it, and that one person was from Seattle, and nobody else could bid even on the damn thing. So they didn't put it out even for bid. They said, we don't even have to put it out for bid. And we had them up there, up in my office, Kleinenberg and Ziegler was up there, and the guy from the ferry system. So at that time he explained all about it. Then it's been such a wonderful success that the guy's gone broke. And now I don't know where they get the milk from now. I guess they get it from the Seattle company.
Opening from 20th Century. Went down there the other day and the milk was outdated. And you told me it was outdated when they received it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not blaming them for that,
no.
But there ought to be something that
but
stops
the,
that sort of thing. And of course it went sour before it
Anyway, my objection. objection is this Kleinenberg keeps running around making all these wild statements, and what they need, some of his ideas is what you need here is a bakery to provide the bread service, and you need a laundry to provide the laundry service, and we'll move all of these things. In other words, forgetting any possibility of any outfit in Alaska being able to take care of any of this, he's going to set it all up for Bellingham. Now, I know that there are some philanthropists among us, and that a lot of times people do things for nothing out of the goodness of their heart. But those people are very few and far between. And I'm not too sure that I know any of them right at this particular time.
Where's the laundry being done now? There was a big plant about that.
Well, it was being done down here at the laundry in general. And Kleinenberg knocked off the contract and made it impossible. Yeah, and so,
yeah,
now,
right.
So then the guy just eliminated it entirely.
Well,
it's just been one series after another.
Where is it being done now, in Seattle?
Yeah. Just been one series after the other of goof-ups. And they all seem to center on this guy by the name of Kleinenberg. And every time you get Hudson, of course, Don Harris, he's the overall commissioner, and actually he has other things on his mind. And his next guy is Hudson. And every time you get Hudson, he's like, Jack Armstrong, we're doing our best, you know, we're going to get the handle on it, and we've got to get the screwdriver in there, and the wheels are turning, but you got to give us the time, and we're just new on the job. Well, I don't remember wanting any on-the-job training. Nobody put out specs for this job that said, we're going to train you to take care of this. I would think they would, and they had guys like Bill Maurice, who was a first-class rate man. Really a first-class rate guy. He would run the last steamship, you know, and Sealand and all those places. Because of political change, he's out of it. And I don't know who does it now. Now all of a sudden they're going to charge $10 for a dog to get on. The guy, guy called me up last night, and he says, I have two big St. Bernards, and if they're going to charge him, he says, they stay in my camper down below deck like a suitcase now. They're quiet and nothing, but they don't bother us. He says, but if I'm paying $10, they're going to be sitting with me in the lounge, looking out the window.
It wasn't Huber.
I started
saying,
no, it wasn't Huber.
He's got five or six of them.
There was one guy, they'll be sitting right alongside of me as paying passengers. Well, you can put your wife on the ferry here and charge her $8 and take her to Haines, but now you go, your chihuahua, you're going to have to pay $10. Five. Well,
10 from Seattle, but 5 would be.
All right. Right. I don't know how much.
Around the first floor, and I
one other little thing you'll discover, Devin, later on. They just had, remember they had a rate and tariff analysis a couple of years ago by the engineering outfit in Seattle. They've got 30,000 requests in this year's budget for another one.
One of the reasons they said about moving this is the Bellingham terminal will save ferry users money by reduced total transportation charges, whether they travel without a car, with an automobile or camper, or whether they ship freight and trailers by Alaska ferry. That's what they say. I don't know what it means. It will save at least 2 hours in time by faster, 55 miles per hour highway speed, to or from the Seattle area than can be made by the 15 knot ferry speed.
Yeah, it takes 4.5 hours to go from Bellingham to Seattle on the ferry.
And the Coast Guard's going to slow them down more.
But if you can drive from Seattle to Bellingham in 2.5 hours, that's what I was
thinking. But why would we want to go to Bellingham if it stopped in Seattle?
So this was an excuse for not stopping in Seattle.
That's where you saved your 2 hours.
Instead of riding
the ferry boat from Seattle to Bellingham, you would ride your car from Seattle to Bellingham.
All right, they've got Greyhound buses. That was to me.
think I'm just went through a turnoff once it showed a sign going out with a gun, you know, that's all I remember. Because it will give the Alaska Division of Marine Transportation about 3.5 times more terminal area space in Bellingham. Beautifully landscaped. Save the ferry system at least $276,000 a year in operating costs, one trip per week around the Columbia. Thus makes possible better and more dependable schedules because improved vessel utilization by the 124-mile shorter run. Alaska ferry tariff charges will enable the system to pass on part of the 62-mile saving on each trip to and from Puget Sound. Those savings will enable all passengers, however they travel, to save money and time on Alaska to Sound by Bellingham. Freight cost saving for those who ship freight and trailers are documented. Puget Bellingham will build a first-class terminal. And that's what they're saying. Cut freight to and from the greater Seattle. I always get the feeling that it's how disappointed I was when I was going to Washington, D.C. the first time. And I went down and bought a ticket from Seattle to Washington, D.C. And when I got there, I wasn't in Washington, D.C. I was in Baltimore, Maryland, Friendship Airport, and that's it.
You weren't half as disappointed as I was when I went to Washington the first time. You know, the stuff sticking out of my ears, and I never seen a big league ball game.
Yeah.
So I talked the guy into taking a cab to go into Baltimore to see a ball game. You know what the cab bill was?
Hey,
$64.
Yeah.
I thought Baltimore was close.
I got off in Baltimore, John, and I said, well, you know, this is the big kid from Alaska. How
about
I do taxi?
Oh, you got
it too. Same thing, the guy goes, yeah. And I says, I'd like to go to a hotel. And he says, what hotel is that? And I said, the Mayflower. And he says, the Mayflower in Washington? And he says, yeah, Mayflower in Washington. And I'm looking around to see if I can see the skyline. And he says, all right. And that's what he got me.
Yeah, well, we
took an hour later. We went all the way. 30-some miles.
Three of us went to Baltimore to the ball game, and we got over there. The taxi guy, he said, well, he said, hope you guys enjoy the game. And I said, well, hell, aren't you going to stay with us? And he says, oh, you want me to stay with you? I said, sure. So he says, all right, I'll be parked right over there. And I said, oh, come on, go to the game. He says, man, he says, I never saw a big league ball game. Can you imagine this? He had never seen one either. So he and I, we sat alongside him. $2.45 for the ball game, but boy, when we got the cab for the cab, 64 pigs. Only to give Paul Grimen half, but he went along. He said, oh, I'd like to go to the ball game, you know. So we found out the people in Washington take a train to go to the ball game in Baltimore. Yeah, they take a train.
Did you ever see some of the cab drivers' names in Washington? Some of the black guys?
I saw
one guy's name was
Precious.
Baltimore, his first name was Precious. And
well, he was a lot of Washington.
He was a tough-looking guy. You know,
one
and
one
I hate to ever
one
have
one
to call him.
With a name like that.
I hate to have to ever call him, hey, Precious, you know?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, Grace was back there a year ago, and I told her in the hotel about the lot of hotel things.
Yeah. I stayed at the Carlton, Sheraton Carlton. It's the only place that they could get in there. Ted Stevens, in fact, Ted Stevens called up and got me in.
And I stayed at the Shore.
I thought that was pretty good, you know. It was about 2 blocks from the Mayflower, and I would have stayed at the Mayflower. The Mayflower is a real old hotel, and man, that ain't too rich. It's got a nice eating place there with the rooms there. So,
running down the bottom.
I'm sorry, I missed the public bid. The present law exempts annuities received in the United States Civil Service Retirement System of the United States Civil Service Retirement Disability Fund. And they're extending that to where it would apply to all pensions and annuities. It was my understanding that annuities, and maybe John can correct me on this, but pensions and annuities are generally tax-free if the funds you paid into them that were taxable, but they're not tax-free if the funds that you paid in were not taxable.
I don't know about pensions, but I think that's true of annuities.
Well, I think it's true of annuities. I think there's two ways of treating. It wouldn't be reasonable for
the tax at the beginning and tax at the end, and it'd be double taxation.
Yeah.
And you don't pay in tax if you're the beneficiary of an insurance policy either, because it's assumed that the income that you used to buy that policy was taxable at the time it was earned.
Well, that would be the assumption here too, would it, on the annuity?
Oh, well, I'm sure it is on the annuity, but I don't know about pensions. I don't know how you'd ever break a thing like that down. Well, in the case of state employees, where you're putting money aside for a pension for retirement, you're paying your taxes as you go along, and so it would be double taxed if you had to pay for that
A lot of disability pensions are non-taxable also, I think.
Yeah.
Also. I see nothing wrong with the bill reason, John.
I don't either, Mr. President. Mr. Chairman, I think that I move to report it out to the
All right. Any objection to reporting Senate Bill 497 out? How many did pass? Over the weekend, John, if you would apply yourself maybe to 5:10 and 5:11, I think it's maybe an hour's research you could handle both those, so we could maybe pick them up on Monday. They're both governor's bills, and we'll either vote them up or vote them down on Monday. It might be a little bit more complicated than this last one, so you might want somebody over the weekend to get you some info on it. Although it's pretty well explained in the governor's letter.
Have any fiscal notes on these things yet?
Should be arriving today. Revenue's working on it.
I don't know why the hell the governor puts in bills without an accompanying fiscal note. That's what I don't understand. And he puts in a bill, and then you have to call up and ask for a fiscal note on the bill that he originated. But to me, it's absolutely. I know what we'll do. Let's draft up a bill that says that all bills that request the administration must have accompanying fiscal notes. That would save us an awful lot of time. Huh? You want to do that? Just to see if we can get his attention. Might not go any place. Does the Finance Committee want to do that?
Well, it hurts. Waste time.
Well, we're supposed to, John. Every bill that we put in has to have a fiscal note with it.
It's just a matter of cooperating, leaving them to us all. So
yeah.
Put in the money, so I don't know.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Darren, HESS, we get a number of bills that don't have fiscal notes, and the governor wants these bills taken up right away.
Well,
and I have
thing.
To call in and ask for fiscal notes. It takes a week.
This has always been a practice, and their answer is they never prepare a fiscal note until it's requested, because if they prepare a fiscal note and every bill introduced, they can spend an awful lot of time in the news and they'll come over. So you just have always
well,
been a practice.
thought perhaps we might draft a bill if it isn't already provided by staff, just to say, I know it is that members are supposed to, when we put in a bill, it's supposed to have a fiscal note attached to it. And I wonder if the administration is required to do the same thing.
They were supposed to make every effort to do that.
Well, I wonder if we could require them to do that. We draft up a bill from the Senate Finance Committee and a bill with just an impact that has just one note attached. We didn't assign Senate Bill 273, did we?
$3 million?
What says?
Good Lord.
Exactly what it says.
$3 million and $3,700.
I don't even know what their assumptions are.
Make a guess at it from now on.
Are you going to carry that one?
No, I'm not going to carry that one.
They're assuming they're going to be, so they attached the population list of all the municipalities and assume all these people are going to be right?
Yeah, that's what they've done. They don't want the bill, so they've made
it. Where do you apply for being one of the rate people?
I'll meet you in your office.
I didn't have a workforce. I mean, maybe we could put the young kids somewhere or something. That to me would be something I think the regional corporations should handle.
What?
Well, program a rapeism. You've been doing it with all the resources, you might as well start doing it with the people now.
The problem about this is that when the victim goes in for physical, for treatment or examination after the assault, she is paid the hospital emergency room employee that is the whole smear. And even though it's gathering the evidence for the police and the courts to use, she's the one that has to pick up the bill. Police never did that to pay the bill and scanning them for prosecution.
Do you want to look at the 272 now, John, just to look at it? That was a little bit of hospital. Not substitute for hospital 272.
No, I don't want to do that.
town, I can tell you, they give them more Bramfield. It's a ghost thing.
We have three, I have a big ring in there, she's trying to see if I can do it.
Well, I think that some of them just pride themselves, say, well, by God, I got it coming, I'm gonna get it.
I haven't applied.
Well, I think the ones that are paying rent deserve it.
Well, yeah, the way the law is.
It's not a welfare, Senator Ferguson, but we didn't want to try to get it on.
Oh, it wasn't on this bill.
I thought that was a longevity one.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, no, I'm talking about this rent exemption.
Senate Bill 46.
That's what I'm, no, I believed on the longevity bonus, but the rent exemption.
What's the rent exemption say?
It says that if you're over a certain age, you're exempt from paying taxes on your home.
Oh, you're saying that Atwood is not paying taxes on his home?
That's right. Well, the state picks up those taxes to the city of Anchorage in lieu, and that's why I say that.
That was my bill.
Oh, that's a terrible bill. Terrible.
The tax exemption on rents is better.
Oh, why wasn't that based on need?
Couldn't do it, it's unconstitutional.
It's based on need if you wanted to.
Pardon?
It's based on need if you wanted to.
You could base it on income.
Sure. Remember, we had that argument on the old timers, it was $100 a month. It could have been based on need.
Yeah, it could have, and then but you'd have to give it to every person that came to Alaska, whether there would be no 25-year limit or anything else. Anybody from Oklahoma, anything else, comes to Alaska 30 days they're a resident, they get the $100 bonus. We went all through that, John, don't worry. We pounded that with Joe Joseph and
the reason that the way it ended up as it did, not because it was unconstitutional, but because the majority of the people did not want it tied to welfare. That was the argument, but it was constitutionality already.
But remember, the first guy vetoed it because it was unconstitutional. Miller vetoed it.
The next guy let it become law without his
signature.
You may be right.
Senator Ferguson, do you have something you want to bring up this time?
I'm ready with the Senate Bill 460.
Senate Bill 460.
Mr. Chairman, on this residential exemption, though, that's not tied to a number of years residency.
No,
it's not. You and Atwood have something together?
Me?
I don't see why that couldn't be tied to.
I think it should be. I don't think it's right for the rest of the people have to pick up taxes of wealthy people.
You mean the one that's in now, or the one that's contemplating, or what?
No, that rent, not that rent, but that residence tax exemption on their home.
Well, we went through that when we were doing that, and it was also a constitutional problem.
Yeah, I think we should go through it again.
Right with me.
What bill did you take up,
Senate Bill 460.
How many want to bring up Senate Bill 460? Go up the right hand.
What is it?
Thank you.
Well, Chairman, I'd like to bring it up.
one of 75 shows 266, and the December 5th of 75 shows 562.
January 2nd is when I went. That means when they received it in our office.
I got the thing on December 5th, 75.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was requested to be returned by 76, and that's the latest.
And this is the correct one, right? 470-some thousand?
562, so all I have is 262.
I got three. All of the different figures.
Yeah, that thing over there looks like one of those games that you play with the dogs in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can convert it.
How many want to put this bill out? Hold up your right hand. Gone. How many do pass?
Did you raise your hand?
Yes. How many no red? How many do not pass? How many don't even want to vote?
Why, don't you do pass on that?
Yep.
Now let's forget it then. I'll do that part about it.
Oh, I think you do pass.
She was a do pass also.
You were do pass?
I can't figure out why it would increase and cost that much between April and...
They changed the retirement benefits for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if we could hold it up till half a year's gone, we'd probably lose half the employees.
Well, wait a minute.
You know,
Mr. Chairman, this says estimated costs are based on the understanding that these roads will be amended to grant prior Alaska Road Commission and Bureau of Public Road Service credit only to persons employed by the state or retired under PERS on the effective date of the act.
Right.
So do you need
it? Has it been amended to reflect that?
I thought so. Based on the understanding that Hospital 36 and Sanibel 222 will be amended to grant prior Alaska Road Commission and Bureau of Public Road Service credit only to persons employed by the state or retired under the PERS and effective date of the act.
So only those that are still in employment or retired under the PERS would get this prior service credit. Most of the questions that were asked, he said he'd look into it.
Yeah.
You have to fill out that form and get it into him and make it back.
Yeah, and there's going to take you guys because your name's not changed, but it's done. I'll be asking because my prior service has been my maiden name. So I had my secretary call him up.
Oh, we never thought about that.
Why do we have to
and
do
had
this?
And he had to place other
forms. Why do we have to do this garbage? I thought I was covered under the act. I paid for my territorial service when they passed the retirement. I paid back my back service. You know, I had 14 years of territorial service to pick up.
Well, if you've been under PERS.
Whatever they told me to pay.
Well, how much was it?
Was not a helpful lot, as I recall.
You know what you're asking me, Dave?
No.
$5,400.
What?
For what?
11 years.
You weren't a part of the retirement report?
No.
How come?
They're taking me back 7% all the way back.
Well, you didn't elect to go under
any of the
because there's some kind of time.
1966, whatever. Yes, we legislated for trying to take credit. If you've been under PERS, you transfer that over, you don't have to take it.
Kind of would you,
You have not opted in the PERS.
Check this out and find out what the hell they're talking about. We'll bring it up next time, okay? We'll bring that up next time and, we'll find out what they're talking about when they're talking about that amendment. I think it's somebody's, they write those things sometimes and it means that the amendment that they are amending the bill takes care of that. So I don't know if that's the case in a particular way or not. But they do write them very strangely at times. So we'll wait for somebody. Or if you want to pass it on there, if there is an amendment there, we can pass it and, amend it.
Well, I'm going to be in a recommendation anyway.
You can put an amendment on the floor if you want. What I'm trying to do is to get some of these bills out that we know that we're going to pass and, so we have some bills for calendars. The rules chairman keeps pounding upon all of the committee chairmen saying, get some bills out. Is that correct, you think?
Right. I don't care what we do as long as we do something.
Let's do something, yeah. All right, how many no
recs? Let's pass the $3 million rate bill.
Yeah. How many no recs were there?
With what?
With this bill.
There was four of them.
Four?
That's one. All right.
You check that, right? I'll put the amendment up on the floor myself.
I guess I'll put more right there. I don't understand.
Bring those people under the retirement.
You know, they gave up their retirement when we had state hurt. It's all with the state divisional finding.
If they would have been transferred out of Alaska and DPR and put someplace else.
Did they give it up or do they still, or are they entitled to vote?
They're entitled to a cumulative. Not now they are, under this they are.
If some of them will draw federal retirement, they can vote.
I'm gonna change mine to go with two other.
A lot of them, John, as I understand it, were vested under.
Well, they weren't vested, they wouldn't draw.
I told you of Paul should be on. Fitzgerald isn't getting 47, he's getting 27.
They're entitled to that, or?
27.
Yeah.
From the state, though.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the state having a part of like that.
That's all right.
Will you forgive me?
I don't either, but between me, he had 10 years, he'd be.
Do you know what he pays?
I imagine 5 years or something.
Not one cent contribution. None of those judges do, not one cent.
Well, they've got a nice setup.
Who gave it to them?
The legislature. Washington State Legislature. They're just giving them out six more.
You know, if they repeal a, by an issue, by a referendum, if they repeal that, the judges still won't pay anything. We got them paying 7% in that bill, but they will have to put in 7%. Then they've made a determination already that they don't have to go back and pay. It'll just be those who, in the future, go on the 50.
What's happening?
They have a vested interest.
Retirement for 10 years. I mean, the vested for 10 years.
It's my bill.
Yeah, what's happening?
Probably floating around someplace. 10 years and 7%.
And that's for who? For legislators? What's it going to do to us that already have?
Okay.
expect the judges to.
It's the same as the judges. You pay it from this time forward. That's why I'm figuring out why this guy's got me now for 7% to start with.
And you better check your budget.
Why you got me now 7% to start with?
Sorry, that's, that was what was passed last year.
5% before.
No, last year was passed.
It was 5 years vesting and 7%.
Was it 7%?
Yeah.
I thought it was, I
thought it was 5 and 5.
No, because your
$3,740.
7% that would take.
7% out of that 4,000.
What shit did you buy?
$3,740.
Me? Very little. We're gonna have to get that military service one. Where is that one? Just in case. We're gonna have to get that one.
Right.
I don't think I need
but
that
just
one,
in case, you know. Huh? Just in case go take and then I'll get out in 20. It's a regular public state the state employee.
Good lord.
Really though, when you think about it, I think that I'm not so much care about the military because you know, if you weren't in the military you might be someplace else. But those people who volunteered for very little glory and sometimes across them out of their own pocket to serve on quasi judicial board, then I think those people should be considered.
That's all.
In fact, we I thought we'd taken care of that. Section in there says before a bill which would provide increased revenue to the state of the region, there shall be attached to the bill a fiscal note containing an estimate of the probable amount of revenue increase for the ensuing fiscal year and at least two succeeding fiscal years. This means that if the, we do get a tax bill or a bill which would provide maybe a federal appropriation to the state, and whoever puts it in specifically, or normally in the case of the administration, they have to put on there. In other words, you get a one-time deal, a one-time windfall, it'll show if it's an ongoing program or a prorated program in 3 years, it'll show for the same time. Any objection to putting this out? Is it the finance committee substitute or finance committee bill?
Could you say that would cover the max cycle cost?
3 years. Right to life. We don't want anybody, any right
Governor
to life.
Governor Speech said that we were going to have to be considering everything as a life cycle cost rather than
well, this
initial cost of construction.
This is something like zero growth.
Or lock open.
Yeah, lock open.
Lock open.
That's his land program.
Lock open.
Lock open. Does anybody have any bills for to read?
I have problems with money. I've got about three bills in here which either passed in some other bill last year, or the kind of sponsor doesn't want them anymore, or they never ever take them up.
Situation is normal. You
yeah,
don't have any problems.
You know, rather than keep going through them, is there some way that we can pull them out, like
no,
one
one that you gave every me. Bill in this committee is a live bill, and every bill is ready for consideration at
well,
any moment.
Okay, I've got one, though, which is a $4 million supplemental.
Good.
And it was included in last year's House Bill 76, which passed.
Go to the, who is the prime sponsor?
The governor.
Go to him and ask him to withdraw the bill.
Ask him to withdraw one that was assigned to me last year, too, that
yeah.
they've never given me the backup information on.
Ask him to withdraw those bills if there's some, if, yes, if they have bills or if you know sponsors, they have to withdraw the bills. And they can.
That seems to be such a long process.
Maybe that once you have, enter a bill, John, there's nothing to do about it.
Why can't we just inform the signal in the back of the drawer and take it out?
We don't do it that way in this committee. Every bill is live in this committee.
Live but not breathing.
Live but not breathing. How about Senate Bill 541? Jim, when you get to the bill, when you have a new introduction bill, then I'll copy it. Better than pull out and have to go through the whole thing, you know. Do a 541. I'll take that. In fact, I could report that out today. Is there any objection? Let's bring Senate Bill 541 up for consideration this time.
What is it? Oh,
hearing none. What this is the state's match for the teacher's retirement, and what it needs is a supplemental appropriation because of the contractual arrangements that's been entered into, and you just got to pay it, that's it. So I'd like to move this bill out with individual recommendations. Any objection? How many do pass? How many don't rec? How many are asleep?
Well, maybe you know what it's about. I don't.
I do, John.
No, well, I don't.
Letter.
I didn't get to check it out.
Did we have enough for a due pass?
What is IS-14-2508?
Yeah. Next bill we'll take up is 547. This is the bill we had in last year. And vetoed by the governor last year because it had wrong information. Or had technical errors, really. What it does is that years of service means membership during the fractional credits that we give them. That's a dandy. The main part of it, and where I think that the position I wish we would look at is on the repeal and reenacted section 2. a teacher who served as an active member of the Armed Forces of the United States after December 31st, 1939, may receive creditable service under this retirement system up to a maximum of 5 years.
Why did they change the date from January 1st, 1940 to December 31st, 1939?
Would you like to have the president come up and explain it?
Chairman, can that fiscal note be possibly correct, the letter correct? The only cost of this is the cost of administration.
Yeah, because we've already passed up stuff and we're not teaching retirement.
That doesn't have anything to do with it. It's covered under the teacher's retirement, and what it would come as, John, until you knew exactly how many people who had served in the Armed Forces previous to that time, how many people it would affect, and then what the state's contribution is to the teacher's retirement for those individual people. That's the only way you could tell. 5,400 is what the fractional thing is that we passed last year in the governor veto. That's what that's for now. That's, as far as I know, perhaps you could tell us what the, if there would be an increased fiscal cost if they change the date of the,
it's looking for real. I don't see that.
Yeah.
Well,
for administration.
Yeah, that's what it says here. Just for the
administrative.
I think, if I understand, my recollection of this bill, Chairman, is that this would make it so that if it was the accounting procedure in the current year, that it would have to be spilled over to the next year somehow. I'd have to review it again to be sure it's got why that is. That's my recollection.
How can you liberalize something without having a problem?
That's a good question. Again, I'd have to review it again.
What happened to 541? Prepared to send a raider to talk on the Alaska and that income tax?
No, we don't have fiscal notes on those yet.
You don't have them yet, huh?
No.
Okay. Have to jack those guys up a little bit. What I'm attempting to do is bring up all of the governor's bills for consideration and so we can get his package out so that there will be no process there or any idea that we would be rolling back on his bills.
attend, I don't know if Senator Butler missed it, did anything or not, but, did you, did any independent work on admin and justice?
No. We don't have any choice.
No. I went through the books and, strangely enough, I found them quite reasonable. Yeah, I was gonna say, it was a refreshing change. Yes. That's in the court system. It's in admin and justice. The only thing with the court system is that, irrespective of how much money you give them, they are more or less autonomous, and they can use the money in any manner they choose to.
Would you please sit, yourself down there?
We'd like to have you explain to us about the changes in the, what, was it 247? 547.
547. Fractional credit, military service credit for retirement. You recall that last year the legislature passed Senate Bill 380, which provided for both of those. The bill was vetoed by the governor because of what he said were some technical, if not possibly constitutional, defects in the bill. I'm not convinced he was correct, but we can reintroduce the bill, which the department says is technically correct. I think there's a letter from Mr. Gates with the bill, or with the fiscal note. The fiscal note is $5,000 the coming fiscal year, and after that, I think they indicate there's no increased cost as a result of it. The fiscal note doing, on this bill as it was on the one that the governor vetoed last year. The only difference is that technically this bill is clean.
They have added, though, Chancy, they have added the section there and changed the dates on that so that there has to be, they're taking in more people on the end of it.
Well, the fiscal note, I think, Mr. Chairman, is actually $5,600. And that's for the first fiscal year, and after that, there's none. Isn't Mr. Gates' fiscal note there with the bill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it says administrative costs. So we wondered what that meant.
I don't know. The bill as introduced last year, the original 380, did not have the military service. It related only to the fractional credit. And that's the more critical as far as I'm concerned. And if there's some concern on the committee, since that, the military credit was basically an idea of the House. If the committee wants to report it out with just the fractional credit, that's fine with me. I'm not. If it's the fractional credit, I think the field is the more important.
Because there is an increase, there would be an increase in the military service if they change those dates. It's my understanding they changed the dates.
Well, that was one of the reasons the governor vetoed the bill last year, because as passed, and again it was a House amendment, as passed, the military credit excluded certain veterans of certain wars and included others. And the governor's argument was that you couldn't really treat veterans that differently. But
there wouldn't be any, it seemed to me that the have to be a change in the people, wouldn't it? Because if they get more people, wouldn't it cost more? Or would it?
Chairman, I usually just take Mr. Gates' statement on retirement and find out, like Senator Rader said, that I learn a lot more about retirement than I want to know if I ask too many questions. But when the fiscal note came in at $5,600, I didn't ask any more about it.
As the prime sponsor, then you really don't care too much about the military.
The military credit,
we can knock that off and send that over to the House, and if the House wants to play with it, they can do it.
Perfectly all right with me.
Does any member have any other questions for the President? Okay, I'd like to talk to you about my secretary. Thank you, Ken.
Yeah, thank you.
What's the question?
I would move that we strike the section two and section three.
strike sections 3 and 4. Two, three, and four. Let's take a look at 14.25.100C. Well, that has to do with military too. You got that, John? John? Raider?
What do you need?
You look at 14.25.100C and D. Anybody want to speak to anybody? Anybody want to get a hold of anybody on this?
No, but can I make a remark?
Yes, sir.
The president's state publicity really did not to me because any communications I've had with him have been wrong.
I've never been able to understand what he says about the communism.
But I hope not. But
you could understand him. I didn't know what
stop him on that check. We didn't have that.
When you understood what he was talking about, you knew it was wrong.
You didn't get anything on the
tire.
You can see the back of the crap I got on the tire. I was much confused. I'm all good to the ordinary labels. You're supposed to know something about it.
Well, he doesn't. He got the job because he was a washout as an insurance agent. Same as
you.
Do
you want that section? What does it mean?
What are we repealing?
We don't want to sit here and research those things. That's our staff needs to research those more research on C and D.
Well, I'm sorry I asked you.
Well,
I'm sorry I asked you, okay?
No.
We'll see that we don't ask you yet.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Anytime. Anytime.
Appreciate it. When you're finished with the statutes, would you kindly return them to the rack up here so the other people can use them? That's the idea of it, Mr. Senator Rader. You are the one that had them down there. Look at it. So.
Mr. Chairman, I'll draw it back up to you and I'll hand it to you. You can look at it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
I've got a. And I called Bob Gates and I don't want to make sure I'm
hey.
Apparently, this. Excuse me.
All right, moving back to you now. Essentially, eliminate. Sections 2, 3, and 4 on Senate Bill 547. Have it ready for tomorrow. An objection? So ordered. Any other business coming for me?
Mr. Chairman. Can we take a 518 on the county chairs.
518?
Chairman, this is really a piece of cleanup work proposed by the governor to stop some confusion that's been around for some time.
Is the cover letter substantially correct?
It is.
Qualified to carry the bill on the floor?
I am.
Do you have a recommendation?
I'd recommend that we move the bill out of an eventual recommendation.
Is there an objection? Hearing none, so ordered. How many do pass? How many no rec? Okay. find all the subcommittees, have your work ready, because when the time goes, we're going to go whether you're ready or not. Stand for recess. We're teaching retirement fractional. We've got that taken care of. 547.
I had it some material.
Yeah, we took everything off at the
fractional
credit.
And it, okay, was that an effective thing?
Yes. June 1st, 1976. Did I hear a motion on that?
I would move that it be moved out with the due pass recommendation.
Is there an objection? How many due pass?
The fractional credit.
Fractional credit, yes.
Yesterday, our special license plates are no longer going to be special.
You said that?
I want to know if the license plate they were down for.
Why?
So, well, all of them would be just like, all the license plates would have three letters or three numbers to start with. So, if it's a legislative plate, it would have three letters, and if it's two, like Senate President, it would be three letters and 002.
L-E-G, O-O-2.
Huh?
L-E-G, O-O-2.
Instead of legislative?
Yes.
Is that the way it's going to be?
I guess so. What would be wrong with that?
Well,
L-E-G 49.
That wasn't the way they identified, said it.
No.
So I'll check into it, will you?
Yeah. Okay, we got the old timers bill.
H-M-S-14.
We have the old timers bill that increasing it from $100 to $150. The cost is $3 million.
Have you seen the committee substitute for most cases?
No. This is just like it, too.
Well,
we do have a committee substitute, but.
You got a committee substitute coming?
It should be attached to that. I mean, to the original.
Senate bill was number 476?
Right.
No, don't have it. Okay, the committee substitute is $125. To make it $1.5 million, and then they have a bonus adjustment.
Cost of living
allowance. No, I don't like that.
I don't like that.
No. All you're doing is leaving open end, and all of a sudden you're going to have a real problem.
If I go for $125, I'd rather pay $125 than $150. I need to correct that program.
Mr. Chairman, if I may give some background, the cost of living differential was from the governor's bill on the same subject.
It makes it even less palatable.
I just wanted to explain.
But the governor's bill took the date line off of sacred days, and it was gone forever.
How many want $150? How many want $125? How many don't want any dollars?
Well, I'm worried about wrecking the road in my area. The way we're spending money, for Christ's sake, Mr. Chairman, I just worry about wrecking the whole program. It's been a pretty darn good one since it started. And an increase of 50% in one jump, hell, if it was 500, it wouldn't be too much. But what are you going to do? Just keep raising everything? Everybody wants more retirement. Everybody wants more pension. Everybody wants more everything. What are we going to use for Joe? One of these days, somebody's going to have to get up on the floor and tell the legislature to back to life. We're running out of cabbies.
I think Senator, it isn't that we're running out. I think it's...
We are out.
We should say we have ran. We have ran out.
This is just an effort in futility trying to do anything on the finance committee anymore, because we're just throwing it out the window like we had an inexhaustible supply coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Through the chair, Senator Butkovich, would you go for a raise of just, say, as much as the cost of living has gone up in the last year, like 12% or something like that?
I'd go for $125 even.
That's a 25% increase. I don't know if we ought to jump this more than the cost of living increase or not.
Well, if you go on percentages on cost of living and on such a small area, that you really, what are you saying? You're going to give a guy an extra loaf of bread?
Give him the same thing he had before. Though. You're not increasing the size.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're going to make it a...
The maintenance program instead of an increase is all. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I see what you're saying.
Well, with the cost of living added onto it, it would be the same thing, because you'd get clear up to 1980, I think, for 1981, and you'd be getting $182.
I think the as a co-sponsor of the original bill with Senator Butkovich, I think that they're really jeopardizing the whole program when they go that heavy.
I do too.
I understand. We're going to wreck the whole thing.
125, I guess I can go for.
That would be a little bit more. I'd say 120. That's a 20% increase.
Well, old age assistance has increased, what, 20%? The other thing is 25 to 50%.
When they figure out the commodities increase and all that, there goes 25%.
State employee salaries have increased about 50% over that period of time.
After listening to John, I'll go 125.
Do we want to reconsider? Who wants to reconsider? Did I hear anybody?
I thought we had the votes for 125.
We did for 125, we had to vote, didn't we?
No, we only had three.
We had three and three.
Oh, I see. I want to reconsider.
You move to reconsider? Move for reconsideration. All those, what's your?
Move 125.
I guess you can do that.
Do it either way you want to.
You can do that.
Okay.
All right, just been the chair rules, you can do that. All right, how many wants 125? Okay.
Those old timers, just like that's what the ones he's talking about, for the things like that type of utility bill. And the cost of living allowance would be based on the base of Anchorage. For 1 year only, so you have to keep going back and addressing it, where if you're putting your cost of living allowance, it's just annual.
In my district, they've all gone up, we need to do ours.
So if this year we raised it to 125 and then put the cost of living allowance, and then it gets a check.
How many wanna, you still feel the same way about fiscal notes on bills? On our own bills, you pass?
You'll end up having to do it 25% a month each time, this way it's 6% jump.
When you say you pass an attachment amendment, you don't mean the substitute bill.
No.
See, you're gonna knock out the adjustments to longevity?
We're sending the original bill, is what we're talking about.
I put amended to 125.
That bill is not going with us on the 125.
That was the House Committee substitute.
That's House Committee substitute, we're not adopting that, we're just taking the original bill, $150.
You don't wanna sign there, though, you wanna sign in the line, you're gonna go on the court.
How about, House Bill 373 amendment? What this does is, the unexpended and unobligated balances of appropriations made by this act lapse into the general fund on June 30th, 1976. It's an act relating to financial assistance to oil development impacted municipalities for extraordinary state services. Nobody cares about that, do they?
What's the number of the bill?
House Bill 373, Senate Committee Substitute.
Already lapsed in, wasn't it? Last year?
June 30th, 1976, John.
That's what they proposed, but the way it was in 1975, so it's already lapsed, isn't it?
Yeah. What Bradner, Brown, Cooper, Hackney, Parr, and Wallace are trying to do is to, and Butkovich are trying to keep that alive till any money that's left there, they want to be able to melt it off till June 30th, 1976. Anybody feel anything bad?
I'm not in favor of it, myself.
Well,
what the hell was that? They had a year to get rid of it?
Yeah.
Well,
anybody want to bring it up?
Don't put me in that category with those contractors.
What? And her brought it up. Okay, how about grants for tourist centers? The Commissioner of Economic Development may make grants to municipalities for creation or operation of municipally owned or operated tourist centers.
What's the number of that?
Senate Bill 436. Our President.
Excuse me, I didn't hear.
Where do we get the money for the grants?
Well, I suppose that happened some other time. I don't know.
The good part comes later.
Yeah, the good part comes later. All this says is add a new section to the statute that says grants for tourist centers. The Commissioner of Economic Development may make grants to municipalities for creation or operation of municipally owned or operated tourist centers.
If he has any money.
If he has any money.